On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, SEC Media Days recap and the state of the state of USC athletics with Talk Cocky with me. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 170 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where normally I do keep each episode from 1801 to 2001, but similar to the last episode, that will not be the case. Have a special episode for y'all here. Going to get into that in a little bit, but it is the second annual State of the State episode, along with Brandon from Talk Cocky with me. But before I get into that, hope y'all are ready for a lovely weekend. I myself am getting ready for a huge weekend as I am taking a trip across the pond, as they say, going to be in Europe for a week or so. So there will be no episode next Friday. If you want to go listen to the Kai Kroger episode, that would be fun. I might repost that episode on social media, but yeah, no fresh episode there. And let me tell you, I am ready to bring the Carolina energy, the SEC energy over to London. I'm ready to talk football. I'm ready to talk college football. They don't have college sports like we do over there. So I'm ready to put on a masterclass, sit down in a pub, have a nice pint or four, and just talk ball. I'm very excited for that, but let me get into things here. Going to touch on SEC Media Days and then intro the State of the State discussion. But before I do, I have a fact from my Gamecock calendar here. USC's baseball leader in doubles and RBI in 2019, Luke Berryhill, had a strong 2021 in the farm system of that year's American League champion, the Houston Astros. Bleh. Playing for three different teams in the organization, he combined to hit 295, 20 doubles, 15 home runs, and 54 RBI. Shout out Luke Berryhill. Shout out USC Baseball. Love that. Love seeing Gamecocks in the next level. Love to see guys succeeding and spreading the good name of the Carolina Gamecocks. But it was a busy week for the Gamecocks, as it was SEC Media Days. Obviously, this is football-centric, but it just really means that football is right around the corner. I know I've said I had the itch, but now I really got the itch. Social media was blowing up like it was a game day, just waiting for Shane Beamer to speak for a few minutes and to see the guys being interviewed and talking ball, talking about last season, this season. Very exciting, and you know, it really welcomes that official talking season, but for all intents and purposes, I look at it as the home stretch until football returns. Shane Beamer was energetic, passionate, and optimistic as ever. I put it out there on social media that whenever he talks and gets on a stand like that, I am so glad that he is our head coach. Just the energy and excitement that he has for Carolina football. He talked about the challenge of this upcoming season, particularly the schedule, but he said that it's something that they get to be a part of, that it's like almost a blessing to have one of the hardest schedules yet again. And I love that mentality. And I think it speaks to the culture of the team that he is building, that it's, you don't back away from the challenge. You are grateful for it. And you should put your best effort forward. It was very cool to see. He also talked about how they are a pretty young team. He said that they will likely have to play true freshmen in multiple positions. Freshmen in multiple positions, right? He said every position. But I don't know. Maybe they're planning for a couple of wrinkles at quarterback with Lenore Sellers. But especially from a depth standpoint, yes, there are certainly going to be freshmen, true or redshirt, who need to step up. You know, that two deep in most places, you feel pretty good about. Maybe offensive line is the exception, but it is a challenge. And he talked about that too. But I think along the way, he has been able to do so. Talked a lot about the additions that he and the staff have made through the transfer portal. They're excited about some of the guys they brought in. Also talked about not being complacent. Like, yes, there were historic wins last season. Clemson, Tennessee, A&M, Kentucky. That doesn't mean anything for this year. And it's going to be that much harder to repeat or even take a step forward. You know, then he also talked about in one of the smaller interviews how Las Vegas has us slated for 5.5 wins. They asked him if that's a sign of disrespect. Does he use it to motivate the team? And he joked about the fine line that you don't want to let the outside noise impact you in a negative way, but you also do want to use it a little bit to motivate yourself to work that much harder, which is funny because Kai Kroger said as much, that he did a good job, Beamer did a good job, that is, of using it just enough to motivate the guys, but not letting it be a distraction. And just seeing Tonka and Spencer and Kai there, very cool to see, all with great messages, just looking forward to helping the team win. Tonka said he's getting to the point where he should be a full go, recovering from an injury, should be good in fall camp. Kai Kroger talked about the excitement that guys have across the whole team to be part of special teams, that guys are wanting to be part of special teams and how that helps him know that the guys protecting him and helping him and everything like that truly want to give 110%. And Spencer talked about how taking that next step offensively and as a team is just boiling down to consistency on his part, on everybody's part. And you read between the lines, and it seemed like making those last couple of games a little bit more user-friendly, if you will, on the offensive side, less personnel groupings, less verbiage, things like that, was a big part of that, was a help of that, and seems like he was very optimistic for the offensive future this upcoming season. Also said he's beefed up a little bit, said he's feeling good, feeling fast, feeling strong, all things you want to hear from your star quarterback. So I'm fired up. I am absolutely raring to go. Week one cannot come soon enough, and it was a blast. So go in on social media. There's lots of highlights from all of the Gamecock accounts. No biases. Go check out everybody. The football team itself put out a fantastic video yet again for Media Days, this time with the Sopranos intro. I quickly learned via Gamecock Twitter that not a lot of people on the Bird app have seen Sopranos. I don't know how that's possible. If you want to get brought up to speed on the Sopranos, talk to me. I'll host a watch party. Let's do it. The Cockpranos. Let's make it happen. Very, very cool. But I know it's a long episode, so I won't delay it any longer. This is the second annual State of the State of Carolina Athletics with Brandon from Talk Cocky with me. If you've been listening to me for a while, we did this last year. If not, welcome. This is obviously the second time we've done this, where basically Brandon and I are just two Carolina fans talking sports. Talking Carolina sports. We touch on a lot of different teams, how they did last year, what direction they're heading in the future, and just go really sport by sport, what is the state of things, right? What is the state of the Carolina Gamecocks Union? Then we kind of put a bow on it at the end and talk about, in general, all the teams, the athletic department, etc. It's just two guys talking sports, right? No real gritty numbers and things like that, but it's opinions. We're on the same page on a lot of things. We had a couple of different ideas for a few. As a heads up, it was done over Zoom, and Brandon, there was like a bad storm or something going on. So the audio cut in and out. We did a good job of editing around it, but there is 1 minute or so where I'm a little choppy, but just bear with us there. But I hope y'all enjoy it. Again, it's just getting excited for this upcoming year for all sports. And I think there's a lot to be excited about. I'm a very optimistic, very happy South Carolina Gamecocks fan. I hope that comes through in this conversation. I hope y'all find the conversation fun as well. Tweet at both of us if you have other takes or something. We are both happy to talk with other Gamecock fans. But without further ado, here is the second annual State of the State of South Carolina Athletics.
Okay, want to welcome on, really welcome back, I should say, a very special guest, Brandon from Talk Cocky with me here discuss the State of the State of South Carolina Athletics, the second annual State of the State for us. Last year, we were just rookies at this whole content game and things like that. I remember being all nervous to connect. Now look at us, friends over social media. But welcome back. It's nice to connect with you again, man. How's everything going?
It's good. It's good. Gotta get the dust off this microphone a little bit. I haven't been behind it in a little while. I told you just a second ago, it feels like I don't even remember what to say anymore. then I actually got the OG logo back here by Bull.
Yes. Yes. Has since been updated to highlight your beard.
Yeah. It's a little bit more. But yeah, I think things are going good. You know, it's actually funny you said that about last year. It was always kind of a thought to interact with some more, do some collabs and stuff. And I think you had pinged me first and you're like, hey, you want to do this? I went, that's funny. That's exactly what I was wanting to do too. So yeah. So we did that, and then we've jumped on with Evans on Tito's, and I've done a few of those. But yeah, we've got to keep this going, and we can officially call it the annual now.
Yes. Because
that is one of my wife's pet peeves when they go, the first annual. She goes, it's not an annual. It's just the first.
Well, now it's second annual.
Yeah, now it is officially the second annual State of the State. Hold on, what I put on the invite? Cox Talking Gamecock with me.
There you go.
Cox Talking. Perfect. There, so
I like
got our own little collab.
I like that. Perfect. Well, for y'all who did listen last year, this is going to be a similar format. For those of y'all who did not listen last year, basically what Brandon and I will do is we'll go through the high level of the major sports, maybe touch on a few others here and there, just sort of talk about the direction of those programs, and sort of ties back to the overall direction of the athletic program as a whole. It's kind of crazy to think of all the changes that happened in that year's time. I mean, I think some of the sports maybe I had some higher optimism for maybe were a little bit different, and then some overperformed and things like that. We're going to get into all that, but it was a fun year. And I think something every Gamecock fan was looking forward to this time last year was the women's basketball team, you know, with that whole freshie group and everything going into their last year, Aaliyah Boston and whatnot, came up just short, but it was a hell of a season. That was a tough one. That was a tough way for it to end. I don't know about you, but I was pretty bummed.
Yeah, and it's hard to – I never say anything's a failure because you always learn, you always get better. However, especially in college sports, when you have people that will graduate and not return, you know, that team – will never be the same again. And it's hard to call a Final Four at South Carolina anything a failure. But obviously going into the season, there were much higher expectations. And, you know, it was just kind of funny because leading into that game, I've said it plenty of times. I've refereed basketball for years. My dad has done it for years. I was always too small until I finally grew. So I stunk at basketball. So I played baseball, but I've been around the sport most of my life. And one of the things you always growing up always heard was don't let one person beat you. And I remember to this day, I'd actually posted it just before the game. And I said, hey, if I'm Dawn Staley, I tell every single guard on the team down to the end of the bench, I don't care if we have to run every single one of you out there and get five, not intentional fouls, but you sit in her pocket from tip off to the double zeros.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets subbed out and she goes to the sideline. You walk her to the sideline. When she comes in, you walk her in front of me. You make her work for every single step she has to, because a shooter's legs are going to run wear out. That eventually you will tire. Everybody will tire eventually, but every girl you got to on her. And it was funny. Like, there was so many negative comments. Oh, you don't know ball. You're so stupid. No, you know, one person's not going to beat you. And I'm like, one person beat us. Mm-hmm. We let her go out there and light it up. And I understand that argument too of don't play favorites, but she's one of the best players in the nation for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Respect that, you know, guard her, stay on her. I mean, we didn't even seem to care about her half the time.
Yeah. I mean, it was certainly a tough one. It was a tough pill to swallow, and one where I think a rematch with us with LSU, I mean, I think it still favors us. You know, I mean, LSU was as hot as you get.
Yep.
I just think it was one of those deals. Like, you know, I was critical of the coaching at the time as well in that Final Four game. I do think maybe there's a little bit of just sort of destiny for Caitlin Clark to get there. But you know, it speaks to, you know, your earlier point of, it does almost feel like a disappointment not getting to the championship game, but I think it speaks to tie it all how back in, the, like how the state of the program is so freaking good. And if you get a Final Four in, I don't know, 98% of the other programs, like you're a legend, you know, that banner flies forever. You're going to hang the banner, but you're a legend if you made it there. And we're saying, oh my gosh, you couldn't win a natty. So it just speaks to the level of consistency that Dawn has brought things to. Now, looking ahead, though, this could be an interesting year. And I've gone back and forth where I have some hope and excitement for some of the young talent that's on the team. And there's some girls on there who have played, you know, like Raven and things like that. You know, Camilla, obviously. But there are some question marks. So what are you expecting out of the squad this upcoming season?
I think first and foremost, and it was very highlighted in that game, is Raven is going to have to get more confident shooting. Because Caitlin completely dropped off. I mean, she's 10 feet, 15 feet off of her. Raven has the ball standing there. I'm like, one dribble in, shoot. But that's just a confidence thing. You know, she's younger. That's going to come with experience. Because you saw in the second half, she apparently went into the halftime and they were like, shoot the ball.
Yeah.
She had a great second half. And like I said, that's going to come with experience. Like you said, it's this upcoming season is going to be interesting seeing the faces that have left and what's coming in. I will be honest. I don't follow the recruiting aspect of the women's sports, which I really don't follow the men's basketball recruiting as in-depth as I do with football, just because it's, you know, it's easier to follow with football. So some of the faces coming in, I'm not that familiar with. I have seen Chloe is crushing it on
the
USA team right now, so that's really cool. She's having a great run with
off season
tournament, whatever you really call it. She's doing awesome in that, so it's going to be really cool to see how she grows. I did see we lost the one girl, the McDonald's All-American, that was the freshman, came in and she transferred straight out. So yeah, it's, you know, when Asia came and left, it took a little while before we really felt confident down low again. And of course, we had some really good players after Asia, but then Alea Boston comes in, and you're like, okay, that's the level that we're expecting now. And so it's, who's going to be the next Asia / Boston?
Yeah, it's exactly that. Like, who's going to be that signature player for Dawn? And she has recruited at a high level. I mean, I couldn't rattle off the rankings right now, but there was a number one thrown in there. You know, it's consistently, tons. Know, top. Right. So to me, like, there's a couple interesting transfers that have come in, but I think Camila Cardozo, this is her season. Like, she's shown flash. She's shown more than flashes really last year. This is her season. I think that's sort of where you build the team out. That's how Dawn likes to structure her team. I lowered the bar a lot in my last episode for them with Mrs. Hopkins. We gave them homework assignments. I gave the women's team two. I said, get to the SEC championship game, not necessarily win it, but by the end of the year, you should be rolling. Mm-hmm. But then in the big dance, in the big tournament, I lowered the bar and I said, get to the Sweet 16, like get to that next weekend. There's going to be tough competition. Women's basketball has gotten better year over year. And, get there, get good experience. And then from there on, you should get back to rolling.
Yeah.
But
women's basketball, and absolutely nothing against Coach Summit at Tennessee, but it's not what it was in the 90s when Summit made her run. It wasn't what it was when Gino made his run. I mean, you usually had two good teams, one really, really, really good team, and then maybe another or two that on any given night could run with them.
Yeah.
I mean, this past year, your top five teams were really good.
Yeah.
And I think with NIL, the portal and everything now, free agency market, whatever you want to call it, I think that is kind of leveling the playing field. But I agree. I think a lot of it, too, is going to be, like you said, the faces that come in. Mm-hmm. We still have a little bit more. I'm assuming we're probably going to try to hit the portal a little bit more just to find that everyday center, that dominant mm-hmm. center.
So I like think that's also Cardozo. Like, I do. And there were times in the
system,
tournament.
So she's going to be able to, yeah, that's true.
And there were times in the tournament where, Saxton might not have gotten it going. Boston might have been a little slow at the gate. And it was Cardozo. And once she got in there, she was dominant. So if she can even take that next step. And that's what true. I think it's the depth. That's the different piece. Instead of having three bigs, you might have two now. So I am excited, though. I think any team that is led by Dawn is going to be competitive. Might just be a little bit of growing pain this year.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, too, it speaks of where this program is.
Yeah.
That we're saying, it may not be that great of a year, Sweet 16.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's incredible. Like, it is truly, like, we are so spoiled at this point. But just what Dawn has built and the support she's gotten from the school and everything, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I think they're in a great place. Going to be an interesting year. But an interesting year.
Yeah. State for the women's basketball. Good condition.
Good.
To great. Good. They're just.
Yeah. Yeah. But who might have an interesting year?
Yeah.
Could
it may not be the perfection year.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to have its moments. And then on the other side of things, you got the men's team. Mm. Now, you are the basketball junkie. Like, That was tough last year. That was to say the least, the first year of the Paris era.
Yeah.
I think when we talked about it last year, we were talking about more like the eye test. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what are we going to look like? Like, what style of play? I don't even think they had the chance to really do that. Like, they played hard, but it was so thin. Like, the team was just obliterated.
When you had the games, and it's same thing with the women's, it's a depth thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've really said for years, even the Muschamp teams and stuff like that.
Oh,
it's one thing to have, well,
wash your mouth out with soap.
I'll show you where I'm going. It's one thing to have talent starting.
Yeah.
But where the Georgias of the world, the Alabama's world, and the football, if you want to say Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, those kind of teams, where they get elite and stay elite is their practice squad could start on most teams in the nation. And when you're having to run out, when our starters came off the court, it was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Or if somebody got in foul trouble, it was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And And that was the thing. And again, you hate to say winning is ever a bad thing, but they came out so hot. You know, the first couple of wins, then beat Clemson. Everyone's like, oh.
It's like,
and then we lost by like 50 the next game.
Yeah, it was like, that's all we needed. We needed Coach Ferris.
And that was my problem, I guess, with the program last year. And like we said, I didn't go in with huge expectations of making the tournament, making any of this. Like you said, we were wanting to see the eye test, see what the product looked like on the floor. It was a much more fun product versus Martin. You know, the offense was a lot looser. I loved, I actually think after that Clemson game, Gigi and Michi was being interviewed, and they were like, you know, how do you like playing for Coach Ferris? And they're like, oh, we love him. He has a rule that if we lock down on defense, we can do whatever we want to on offense. But if we, you know, blow an assignment or something on defense, you know, boom, boom, you're running this, you're going by the book. And players love that.
Yeah.
You know, players love that freedom. So, and when he said that, I'm like, that's coaching.
Mm-hmm.
At this day and age, that's coaching. You know, you're not going to have the
Bobby Knight.
Yes. Thank you for reading my mind. You're not going to be slinging the chair across the court anymore to get to somebody. You got to kind of, you know, bring them along. And I really like Coach Paris's style of coaching. Going into this year, the blowout losses need to be more competitive.
Yeah.
And that was my only really kind of disheartening part, if you will, from last season, is we would be really competitive, pull out a win or something, next game be really competitive and kind of look like, okay, we're making progress, And then you come out to somebody drop by 40. And that was the problem, is you wouldn't lose a game by 12. You wouldn't lose a game by, you know, 14. It was a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what hurt me with some of those losses last year, of you were either in it or there was no chance.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like one step forward, two steps back a lot of the times.
Maybe three on some.
Yeah, like you beat Kentucky in Lexington, like this high of high that I don't think the teams prior to Coach Paris that we had seen, I don't think that team closes it out. Like Paris was able to get the guys to rally and do that. You come up shy against Alabama, but the fact that you were in that game is...
And that was a great game.
It was electric.
I mean, it was... Sorry, I had to pop another one. Yeah, I mean, it was a great... And that's the thing, is we played some really, really, really good basketball at points last year. And then, again, some... there were some disciplinary moves that a few of those games were in, which I completely agree with.
Yeah.
I do still agree with sending a message.
Yeah. I mean, it was a deal where, like you just said, if the starters were out or someone was gone, you knew. But you really had to have like Michi, Gigi, and Hayden Brown, or, you know, someone else. Yeah, you had to have the three guys combined for 40 something points, you know, or more than that. If that didn't happen, there was not this group effort of most of the time. But gotta give Paris credit. This offseason, he has worked his butt off in the portal. He's done pretty well in the high school ranks too, just from the guys I've seen. But this should be a different team. Like this should look and very different, right?
When he's got the two European guys, which I hear he absolutely loves his European basketball players, which, seeing where the American game is going now, I understand why, because Europe still actually teaches technique and fundamentals where, you know, you might take 17 steps and it not get called a walk or travel in America anymore. He's got those two. That one's massive. But the other cool thing with European guys is they're huge, but they can handle the ball and they can shoot. He's got a couple of guys in, and I know we are out of out of scholarships for this season, but I did see the one guy, and I have absolutely no clue if we're getting him or whatever, but committed to Tennessee, and then he's back in the portal and even made a comment that for the right spot that he'd be willing to walk on somewhere.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that would be a really extra body.
Yeah. I mean, and you got Tyler Hero's brother, Austin, I think his first name is. He's walking on. But, I mean, getting BJ Mack, that was the number one target.
Yep.
That was huge. Like, you know, there's always the joke, like, it's huge for the program. Like, that was huge for the program, you know, to go in, recruit him, get it done. I love that Michi's back. I think Josh Gray can have a halfway decent year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some guys on this team who I am excited about. And,
well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, and what I was going to say, too, is as when you're building a program back up, and when you don't have the depth, you need high-intensity guys and high-effort guys. And that was what Brown did for us last year. You know, he was that it's minute 39 and 58 seconds down 30, and he's going to dive into the front row for the ball.
Yeah.
You know, he was that guy. BJ Mack kind of seems to be that guy as well. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch every single Wofford basketball game to, you know, to know.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, neither did I. I just know he did good.
Yeah. And he plays really hard. And that's what you got to have as you're building this up, is you got to have those guys that, you know, will dive headfirst onto the court for the ball.
Yeah. And I think having a couple guys who were on the team last year, Jacoby Wright, another one, having that group of guys who can tell the culture, this is how we do things and things like that. I think that was also missing. So not only was it guys who hadn't played a lot of SEC basketball, was it guys who didn't know the system, was sort of a perfect storm. And just it was disappointing because you had GG Jackson, the most exciting recruit we've had in years, like arguably ever. Mm-hmm. And you didn't really do a whole heck of a lot with it. But what is something for this upcoming season? Like, is there a benchmark that you have in mind wins wise? Are you still just giving the eye test? Like,
yeah, I still don't know that. Because like we said last year, people have to be realistic. And I get the world we're in. It's instant gratification, NIL. People can move back and forth, you know, really quickly. But when Paris came in, there was nobody on this roster.
Nobody.
Nobody. Like anybody that had, you know, quality production left. And I have my opinions why that happened. I won't go there. That guy's gone. But yeah, I think I saw it was like 89% of all the production from the year before had left. And everybody's like, oh, well, we got GG. GG's a great basketball player. I think he was a little young and it took him a while to realize, for him to even realize, hey, I can actually take over a basketball game. And the other thing with basketball, you know, like you said, we finally have some guys that's been in the system for a year now. So you had brand new coach, brand new players, but a brand new team too that has never played together.
Yep.
And in basketball, if you play a team that's been together for 10 years, they know where you're cutting. They know who's making a screen. They know how you're going to play, where you may be really, really, really good friends and y'all may be really, really good basketball players. But if he takes a fake step and you throw it, nobody makes a play because you didn't know that that's a move that he makes.
Yeah.
But to get to the question, I still don't know that I'll put a number on wins just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying earlier, I want those losses more competitive.
Okay.
Obviously, you can't take a step back in wins. But you get more competitive in those.
I don't know if you like literally can. Like
you literally can. But if you want a job for a very long, you can't. Yeah. I think get those closer, more competitive, and also you still need a couple of those big wins. You know, the Clemson win, the Kentucky win. It's hard to say the Alabama game, but damn, that would have been a nice one to have pulled out.
I mean, wasn't
when you're
there
in that situation?
Yeah,
pull one off.
Yeah, Bama would have been insane, but I think I'm almost positive it was at the end of the year, and it was Georgia. I think that game went to overtime, and we lost. Right.
I believe, yep.
And there were a couple games late in the year in the SEC, obviously, that were close.
Yep.
And so
I think
it
went
like
into overtime. I think we had like two or three close ones.
There
and
was
then we lost them all.
Yeah. So it feels like there's more league wins there. I mean, shoot, even looking back at the first league game last year against Vandy, the team was in that one and they lost heartbreaking fashion. So I am going to put a little bit of an expectation. I kind of said this like in my last episode, but I'm going to say 7 SEC wins. Got 4 last year, if I'm not mistaken. 3 more. Like that feels doable. And in theory, if you improve in the league, there's a couple of the out of conference games that you pick up as well. And you're seeing that progression. I'm not thinking we're going to make the NCAA tournament next year or anything like that. But it feels like the team should be able to take a step up with some more veteran presence.
Yeah. I think as a team as a whole, I think we have more talent again.
Yes.
As a whole team.
As a whole. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll hit baseball in a second. I do want to throw one real quick. The women's softball.
Women's softball. Yes.
I know a lot of people have been really down on them, and it's made it even worse that the other school came out. You know, they just started their program and went red hot. Credit where it's due. Coach Bev had a phenomenal season this year.
Can't end the year much better.
Hated to see it end.
Yeah.
But it really felt like they were taking one of those historic runs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, but talk about some portal wins for that program now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got I'm not going to start saying names because I know I'm going to mess them all up.
We got some players coming in.
Yeah, we got a few coming in. Like I said,
okay. I'm not too well versed in that. So I'm not too well versed in that.
It's going to be interesting. I'm really hoping that this season is going to be the one that helps catapult that program.
Yeah, it would be so fun to be so good in that sport. I mean, I feel like we've been teetering between like good and like decent. That end of the year last year was fantastic, and something that Mrs. Hopkins said on the airwaves, it's only getting harder when you're bringing in Oklahoma and everything that they have done in that sport.
I didn't think about it in women's softball.
I had only been thinking about football, but they're coming with all those national
Texas
championships.
Texas hasn't been terrible either in women's softball, which they're the baseball, one of the traditional baseball blue blood.
This program has had, you know, time to build. And it feels like you got to strike while the iron's hot. And I mean, to end last year with the way they did, you really hope that they can do so next year.
Yeah. And so that'll segue us into baseball, where we did put on, and I think a lot of people put on actual expectations for this year.
Oh, and yeah.
I know I made a couple of posts of, it's no surprise Mark Kingston's job was on fire going into this past season. And I'd ask, I said, you know, what's bare minimum? Is there a certain number of games? Is there a position in the playoffs? Where does Coach Kingston have to get to for you to go, okay, he saved his job? Without a shadow of a doubt, every single person said no less super regionals.
Yep. And it was like unanimous amongst the fans.
Everybody was going there. And I was kind of the one too that, once you get into the postseason, people get hot. You know, it's hard a lot of times to say X amount in the postseason or you're fired. Like, if the season would have continued the way it would have, you got to the regionals and someone got injured and you didn't make it to the Supers, like...
Yeah, context matters.
Yeah, you can't hang somebody's hat on that. And it was so funny because when me and Evan did the baseball episode, we'd just gotten into the SEC play. I think we were... I mean, this was the week before. No, because it was just before LSU.
Okay.
Just before.
So times were good.
Yeah, we were still good. And we were like, hey, you know, we're not jinxing anything. And I remember I even made him the comment. I said, you know, barring any kind of catastrophe, like Mark Kingston's got his job next year, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. So then we go LSU series. You know, we split. That one was a heartbreaking loss. Second game, but then you had a couple injuries, especially starting pitching, middle of the lineup had some guys drop, and the season just
went sideways
and it fell off. And then you have people, oh, fire, fire, fire. And I'm like, whoa, we're 2 weeks removed from the hottest team in the nation.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the entire season. Like, let's give it a little bit of a break. So how are you seeing the first half of the season?
First half of this past season? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the Carolina baseball we know and love. You know, I mean, that's what we thought this team was, a team that had pop. I mean, I think Petrie was a huge surprise to most with just how hot and consistent he was.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't this guy that comes in and has a big series.
His slump, he was still batting over 300.
Yeah, it just wasn't hitting home runs. It was like,
we were like, oh, Petrie's in a slump. I'm like, he's still batting 300. Like,
give the kid a break. But it was so much fun. And it felt like the teams like had that juice and had that edge, mm-hmm. especially at home, where they were like, you are not going to win here. And I feel like those great Carolina teams exemplified that.
Took the words out of my mouth. Yep. We did not lose at home.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I think the fans were behind it, because I think while people might have been sour on Kingston, and I think there were people who, you know, were ready to move on from him, you know, like consequences be damned. Like, we want the team to be good. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we're a passionate fan base. So it was like, okay, like, we're rolling. I can eat my words. Let's go. Like, we're all the better for it. And then, yeah, obviously the second half of the year, though, was a different story. And that was definitely crappy.
Well, and a lot of that, too, with Petrie, when Casas got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that drastically changed the lineup, because you took Petrie's protection away.
Yeah.
Because you had to pitch to him. He's the freshman versus mm-hmm. the upperclassman. And when he went down, we still had some good bats, but you know, Casas was on fire too. So you couldn't dodge Petrie. You couldn't throw one in the dirt to him if there's runners on to get to the next guy, because it was Casas and he was going to hit a bomb too.
Mm-hmm.
Where once he goes down, then the lineup saw some issues, and that's always been I understand. Their job is to win the game. And I don't know if it's practice. I don't know if how we're doing. I don't know if strength, whatever the issue is. But Mark Kingston's teams have had lots of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pitching staff, batting line, like across the board. You know, a few years ago, we had no pitchers.
Yeah.
Because everybody's hurt. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure where that fault lies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people need to also take into consideration when you do lose two of your weekend rotation guys. You know, Noah Hall was out for whatever reason. Sanders was out multiple weeks. Then when you have two or three of your best bats at the top of the lineup out, you're not going to win a lot of series in the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, and it was it's just they were all
how it is.
Pretty big injuries. Like this wasn't a guy missing a couple of games here and there. I mean, Noah Hall got hurt and he was done for the year.
And that was still weird. Like, he got hurt and they never came and they're like, oh yeah, he's on the injury list.
It was like not really disclosed. His back, right? And he was emerging as the ace, like the number one guy. Like, sure, maybe I'll pitch on Saturday, but he was it, and it allowed Mahoney to have less pressure on him. I mean, he threw some gems down the stretch, but he struggled mm-hmm. when he was forced mm-hmm. to be that number one guy. And Wimmer going down too. It was just these leaders.
Yep.
Like that. And it was just like the worst guys to get hurt did. And yeah, it is an interesting pattern with Kingston, with guys getting hurt. I mean, it's a long season. Guys are going to get banged up, but to have sustainable injuries, it's tricky. But what are you thinking for this upcoming season? I mean, there's some reason for optimism, but mm-hmm. there's also some reason for concern.
Yeah.
Particularly, well, I feel like, on the pitching side.
It's actually so Rick Miller, former mm-hmm. or frequent guest, not former, he did ask, you know, what are the expectations for the program and do we think we're heading in the right direction? I completely agree with keeping everybody on board. Going forward, because I don't think you can justify any changes at the top after this season. I like how they've been attacking the portal. It's I think it's very similar to what we were saying with the women's basketball team is there's a lot of those big faces, mostly in the rotation,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be changing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's for me, it's going to be interesting to see who steps up. I think most of those guys have actually signed contracts for the draft now.
Yeah, pretty much everybody.
So it's, I think this offseason, we're going to have to go through even some of the freshmen that we were supposed to have coming in out of high school. I think a lot of them have actually signed those deals. So that's the good and the bad with baseball is they let them go through the draft, see where they want to do, make mm-hmm. the decision. You know, that's great if you're able to get them to come back and you can say, yeah. hey, we had guys that went in the third round but decided to come play for us. But it equally sucks when you have guys that went in the third round and they left because you spent all these years recruiting. Yeah. So yeah.
It's tough, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to say for this year what is that bare minimum like we did with mm-hmm. this past year because Cassis is coming back. You know, the lineup is pretty good. Braswell transfers. We had a few guys, you know, gone. I think the lineup should be pretty good again this year.
Mm-hmm.
The rotation is going to be the question of how we're going to fill yeah. those gaps.
Yeah, it's going to be a big question. I mean, and you had guys, I mean, look at Jerzenbeck. He would have been a one or a two.
Killing it.
But then he has to get Tommy John, mm-hmm. and now he's gone. Not going to be a Carolina anymore.
Yep.
So it's just really, it's tough. And it, like to answer like Rick's question, like, are we heading in the right direction? It's like, I want to say, yes, like we made the super regionals. Like, it seems like we're working the portal well and everything like that. So I'm going to say yes, but I don't know what the expectations are. Yes,
question mark.
Yeah, it's like, yes, with an asterisk, you know, like talk to me at the midway point of the year.
Yeah.
It's tough, but I think at a minimum, and I remember this saying this last year, is that you still have to get to regionals, like that mm-hmm. bare minimum floor mm-hmm. at USC. Like if you can't find a way to get that, like guys to the draft and everything, I understand, but there should be talent in and around the program to get back to regionals. And if we can say, okay, we didn't have a Will Sanders or a Noah Hall, but we made it work and we slugged our way to the regionals. Like, okay, like I can live with that. So I do feel like they're going in a pretty good direction. I think people are just not a fan of Kingston. So I think
yeah.
if things start to slow down, like people will be calling for his job once again. I'm like lukewarm on the guy. Like, you know, I can like take a bit, you know, I want continuity, but I'm not completely sold.
I think a lot of people's issues with him, which I'm not a huge fan is he came in. I don't think he's as heavy anymore, but he came in very heavy analytics.
Mm.
And, you know, that's all he talked about. Launch angles this, you know, da-da. But all that stuff's monitored now. So it is part of the game, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I'd actually saw an interview I'd never heard before where Tanner had actually said, because everybody's like, oh, you know, Tanner just had a great feel for the game, da-da-da. And he's actually made comments. He goes, oh, I was big in the analytics back then. He said, but our analytics with spreadsheets.
Yeah.
He said, and I had like binders of spreadsheets and I'd go through and look. He goes, you just had to look at the numbers and you had to process it.
Mm-hmm.
And cause that's the thing that I've always said with him was he would know, hey, this guy's batting 1 for 300 in his career and this guy's batting 429, but I'm going to pull him and pinch hit this 1 for 300 guy in the bottom of the ninth with bases loaded and 2 outs. And that guy gets a hit. Like it never didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably looked at an analytic that said on Tuesday, the 5th, when the wind's blowing 2 miles an hour and on a, you know, like it just always worked for him. And I think that modern day was what got people off on Kingston a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing guys swing for the fence every single pitch. And I think it just kind of wore out his welcome a little bit early on. But, you know, like you said, at South Carolina, we have kind of an expectation for baseball. And when you mentioned the regional, I do absolutely agree. Regionals is bare minimum.
Yeah.
of what your season should be, bare minimum. Yeah. Now, if you're saying, you know, firing guys and stuff, that was where I was kind of like, I don't know where I'd put it. But no, the University of South Carolina Gamecocks baseball team should never not make a regional.
Exactly. Like, hosting is great, but making it is absolutely necessary.
Yep.
And I mean,
I don't care if you're the, what is it, 64 teams. I don't care if you're 64. Yeah. You have to go to Hawaii to play in there. You're the four seed. You should never not be in a regional.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the talent in and around the state is fantastic.
I can go get some high school teams around here and make the top 64 teams in the nation.
And make a regional. Yeah. I mean, the Marist regional.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, I agree with you on that. Regionals is a bare minimum.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see, you know, and I think if Kingston gets us there, and so you're looking at, by all definitions, like two successful years, like, yeah, I think you could say like we're going in the right way. And obviously it's all recruiting and things like that, mm-hmm. but hopefully we can keep it up. But speaking of keeping it up, we got to touch on the big dogs. It's right around the quarter, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Football. I'm ready. We were saying before we hit record, it's time. Yeah. Like we're less than 50 days. We're going to be 45. When we're recording, it's 46. Yeah. I'm ready. Like I am. My Saturdays are fun in the summer, but there's nothing better.
My Saturdays have been Saturday. Fun. I've been building that barbecue barn. I'm tired. I'm ready to sit back and just eat and drink beer and watch football.
Yeah. The barbecue barn will pay off.
Yes.
When football season is here.
Yeah.
You know, short-term loss, long-term gain type of deal. But I mean, wow. To end that year the way that we did, you know, I had Kai Kroger on my show not too long ago, and just talking to him, being a part of that ending. And then I think it's a deal where if this program ascends to the places that we feel it can get, or maybe we saw it before and things like that, I think those 2 weeks against Clemson and Tennessee are going to be where, like, that was it. Like that was the moment where things clicked. Yeah. That's where people realize South Carolina can do stuff, and it just catapulted. But I mean, I'll toss it to you. I mean, the end of the year, all the year, like, my goodness, like what are you thinking?
Well, and it was actually funny the way that you worded it. And I know you didn't realize it, because I do the same thing. I didn't realize it until the other day. I saw a highlight clip from the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
I went, oh yeah, we played Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And we lost terribly at the end. I was at the game.
Yeah.
And that was one of those with the guys that had transferred, a couple of injuries and everything. We ran out of horses at tight end. We ran out of horses at wide receiver.
That's what it was.
And you know, that's one, and bowl games now, if you win, they can help push you into the next season. If you mm-hmm. lose, they really don't seem like they're that big of a issue anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably unless you get stomped or something, but you know, I agree completely. Last season was kind of one of those up and downs a little bit, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
There were some games that were closer that shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there was a game or two where you're like, oh, why did we just do that?
There were some real stinkers. Like it was a roller coaster.
But then when Tennessee hit and then Clemson hit, and you're like, and I've got to be honest, I didn't go into Tennessee expecting to lose, because I will never, ever, ever go into a game. I'm a fan, mm-hmm. so why do I mm-hmm. care? You know, you should never go into a game expecting to lose as a fan or ever. But I just kind of went in impartial, and I was like, okay, you know, we're going to go into this game. I'm going to have a fun night out with some friends, watch mm-hmm. ball game.
Is what it is.
And then when they hit the first one, I was like, then the second. Then I'm like, whoa, uh-oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
But the Clemson game, we actually had one of the Gamecock Eats meetups at Lewis Barbecue here in Greenville. And it was kind of another one of those, like, as it's happening, I'm just waiting. I'm like, okay, we took the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes. Okay, we're punting it off to them. They're about to get the ball. Here it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he fumbled it. And it was just kind of one of those that live, it was hard to enjoy because of, you know, our recent history of the name that I meant, you know, the name of previously that you don't mention anymore. Like, it's just been that way the last few years where you're finally in a good position and you know something's bad going to happen. You know, it's back to those old Gamecock days of you're expecting something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When we got Pete Limbo now. We got Shane Beamer that...
Yeah.
They're the two best special teams coaches in the nation. And that's how we won that game. The fumble on kickoff and the fumble on the punt.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's... And this is something Beamer's talked about. It's not just changing the culture in the locker room. It's changing the culture, like, with the fans, you know, like, find some joy, things like that. You know, like, there is a new sheriff in town, and the Beamer teams, like, yes, there are some bad examples of games that went bad, like Florida, Georgia, things like that. But for the most part, the teams fight, and they don't let 1 week dictate what happens the next, which is something we saw all too often before him. Mm-hmm. And so for the team to shake off Florida and then do what they did against Tennessee, I think speaks to the culture in the building. And then as fans, we do need to start maybe wrapping our heads around that. Like, like, the shoe might not drop in some of these instances, but I'm with you, man. Like, in the Clemson game, when we were punting off, I was like, they're gonna go down the field. You know, it's like the whatever minute offense it was, and it was like, that's it. You know, I was ready. And
well, and it's to funny end it too. Like that,
fantastic.
Well, and it's funny too. You mentioned Kai. I was scrolling through on YouTube the other day, and well, somebody tweeted something, and it was like, oh, our punter did whatever to you, but it was Tennessee, and he didn't have to do a whole lot against Tennessee because we scored every time. But so I'd YouTubed Kai Kroeger, South Carolina, and there's a video where they break down his punts in that Clemson game. But so he had, I believe, 5 punts within the 10-yard line, and it was they'd basically said that Clemson did not score on a single drive that he punted within inside the 10.
Wow, that's a fun stat.
And it was saying that every other drive that did not land inside the 10, they scored on.
So
I was like, crap, it's been, you know, 6-7 months, well, 10 months, 9 months, whatever, since then. I'm like, that's the first I've heard of this.
Yeah, really?
Clemson scored every single drive that they started outside of the 10, and he punted 5 inside the 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, it's wild.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was truly a back and forth game, and I mean,
So we just lost power. But since I don't remember where in the heck I was talking, we will actually do Chuck's question. So he said, how impactful has backfilling the tight end position been this offseason? And really, we mentioned the ball game a moment ago, and that was one of the obvious spots of weakness because we trotted out like one scholarship tight end for that Atkins. Game. So. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you hit it.
I like this question because it talks about sort of the future. We were getting caught up in nostalgia and, you know, talking about the state of things and whatnot. I think this is huge because as exciting as Jaheim Bell was and everything like that, like, he moved on, like, whatever is what it is. But to not just like rely on one portal edition or to maybe double down in the high school ranks and hope you can get lucky with a true freshman, like, you're bringing in two established playmakers like Trey Knox. I'm super excited about. He's familiar with Dowell Loggins. Mm-hmm. He's everything you want. I think Josh Simon is going to be a huge, huge contributor, someone who you can play as a little bit of that hybrid, just kind of his build and everything like that. Nick Elksness, I always mess up his last name, but Elkins.
I'm glad you went first now.
Like, he is someone who has a huge upside as well. My boy Connor Cox, like, there's it goes down and down and down.
Huge.
I love that. Like, I don't have like a recent jersey. He might have to be the guy. Just naturally.
You gotta get one.
Just might naturally have to be it. But I think Dowell has talked about it. Shane Beamer has talked about it since he's been hired. You want to utilize the tight ends.
Yep.
And it just makes such mismatches. It makes mismatches in the NFL, makes mismatches, tongue twister, in college. Look at what UGA is doing with Bowers and everything like that.
We won't say the other name of UGA's tight end that should have came here.
I'm ecstatic about the tight end position. I'm ecstatic about the skill positions on the outside. Running back, we can get into, but I'm very excited about tight ends.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the additions and Beamer just seems to be, and actually I want to get out of that habit. I believe in doing the coach name. I think society has gotten a little too nonchalant with it, with the Beamer. He's Coach Beamer.
What, you want to Coach Beamer?
Okay. Coach Beamer.
I'm going to stick with Beamer.
But sure. I'll call him Beamer 75,000 times. It's one of those I try to, and then I'm like, nah, Beamer's just cool, though.
You could do the online CSB.
Yes.
Like, you do that.
Ooh, I like that. I like
CSB.
I really like the way, and he said it all, and it sounds like coach speak, but his opening press conference when he goes, oh, you know, when you expect to win, he goes, we're going to win now. And that is how he attacks the portal and recruits. So as he's recruiting guys that he knows can come in and they can build up. Absolutely nothing against Connor Cox. He's more than likely at tight end. The likelihood of you coming in as a true freshman and starting in the SEC, you could, but you're probably going to get your butt whooped a lot because those guys are huge. So the fact that he's going to bring in some guys from the high school ranks that are clearly have talent, clearly can build to be great players, maybe not even down the road, maybe this year, but aren't physically to the point of being a starter yet.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's going to go in the portal and he's going to grab a guy that can be a starter and that can compete right now. And then we can bring those other guys up. So, you know, these guys that you only got a season, maybe two, you're able to develop these other guys. So then once they're gone, then you're back recruiting and you're building all this. And that's how you build a program. And that's what I really like about how Coach Beamer has been able to build this roster, because he's been able to recruit guys. I mean, you look at the offensive line and the defensive line that we've been recruiting this last class or two, and we're recruiting monsters.
Oh yeah.
Coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
But he also knows, hey, these guys are 210 pounds coming out of high school. That's kind of where we want them to. That's still a little bit of baby fat. So we need to get them in our strength and conditioning, get them up to actual SEC strength and speed and, you know, weight. Well, let's go out and grab some of these guys that can compete right now.
Yeah.
And I like how he's doing all that.
Yeah, he's good at using the portal. I think really how it was intended, where you use it to sort of plug and play and places where maybe you don't have the depth and things like that. And then if you can get lucky and get a Spencer Rattler, fantastic. But you're not going to rely on the portal year over year to build your roster. It's more of just that depth, or, you know, maybe you did lose a guy like a Jaheim Bell. Like, okay, we need to find a playmaker. And when you can get two, it's a home run. And I'm really excited. I mean, what are your thoughts about Dowell Loggins? I mean, because there's all of this excitement around Carolina football. I'm bullish. I mean, I always am, but I'm bullish on the team. But the one thing that I feel like a lot of people are not talking about is the question mark. That is, what does Dowell Loggins do with the offense? The more I read, the more I hear, the more excited I get. But what are your thoughts?
I agree, and I'm the same way. I'm the guy that, and I've said it 1,000 times, like, I never go into a game expecting to lose.
Yeah.
I'll keep saying, you know, 15-0 or 16-0 with the expansion, whatever. Like, I'm going to keep saying that as preseason, because I'm going to go into every single game expecting to win.
Yeah.
I feel like we have the athletes and the team this year to go out and win. Do I honestly believe we have everything to go out and win like a national championship, go undefeated next year? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll never tell you that preseason.
Everyone's undefeated now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, until you lose, you're undefeated.
Yep.
I think the biggest question mark going into the season, and I'll probably throw three major question marks for the season. Number one, I'll say Dow Loggins. It's the unknown.
It's not a slight against him. It's just it's the unknown. He hasn't called plays in a while. Hasn't called played in college. It's okay to put a question mark. But
I do like where you were saying with the tight end. You know, the NFL does more on setups and, you know, what you're going against, everything.
Yeah.
There's a word for that. I can't think of it right
now. Matchup.
Yep, that one. power going out and you keep looking at the cameras will do that too. I'm really interested in how he's going to do that. All the guys, when he's came in, they all seem really excited about him. I realize they can't really come out and be like, oh, he sounds like an idiot. He doesn't know anything about football. He doesn't even know what position the quarterback plays. I realize that, you know, none of that's going to happen. But they all do seem genuinely excited, at least, you know, from what they said talking to him. All the coach, I mean, everybody seems to have the same excitement. And you kind of expect to get somebody to eventually just be like, oh, you know, I haven't really talked to him too much. But everybody's like, oh, we talk all the time already. You know, he's been here for 3 minutes and he texts me nonstop. Like, they're all like that. So that's, you know, question mark, just to see. You know, like we said, it's the unknown. My number two question mark is going to be D-line depth and run stopping, I think, is really the issue that, and I don't even want to say issue, but I think that's just the question mark going into the next year for the defense. But my number three, and you'd even mentioned it, is the running back room. And I don't think it's a slight, same thing with Loggins, same thing with the run stopping. It's not a slight to anyone there. I think the running back room is the same thing with Dow Loggins going into this year. It's just a little bit of the unknown. I don't think anybody on this planet would ever question DK's heart for the Gamecocks and that he would run through a brick wall or the defensive line for his team. I think it's the fact that we've just never seen him line up behind center, or not behind center, off of center, and take a handoff multiple times a game the entire season. You know, losing some of the guys that we lost, again, not saying names, just productive wise.
I mean, it's tough. Like, there's no proven, like, SEC down to down between the tackles kind of guy. You got Juju. I love Juju.
I love Juju with all of my heart.
And he's great at what he does. Fourth and one. Yeah, it's tough, right? I mean, Mario Anderson coming in from the lower ranks, he might be that guy. Like, he might be that, what's it, three yards in a cloud of dust.
Yep.
Like, that's his MO. Dontavius Braswell, he's a guy, but he's a true freshman, right? But he's a guy that could
Dante come in. Miller, I believe.
Was he cleared? Said,
I think they have.
Okay.
Every time he's on the last time I looked, he's on the roster on the website for this year.
Okay. Well, if he is actually cleared, that I like him.
Yeah.
And then it's Dak, and wouldn't it be fitting? Just, this is his last go at it. He was the quarterback, the receiver, and everything. Like, wouldn't it be fitting if he actually finds a little bit of a home in the running back, helps win games? Like, I don't know if he's going to be this top SEC guy, but if he can be consistent and be like, wow, like that was it. Like, that's where he needed to be. Yeah. I think that would be such a cool end to his journey. And it's just that deal, though, like you said, you're not questioning his heart or his athleticism.
Yeah.
When if he gets the ball in space, if he can make a guy miss, I love it. But can he get to that next level of the defense? We just don't know. And I'm excited to see, but I'm nervous. I am. And
I need to eat my own words before we even finish this. Juju is the fourth and one guy, because when we played Clemson, it was fourth and one, and they threw it over the top to him, and he took it down to the one. So
you are absolutely right.
I stand corrected. Juju McDowell is the fourth and one guy.
He absolutely is. Yeah, you're right. But
I even called myself out on Twitter before everybody else did.
That's perfect. I love that. No, but as far as your concerns, I mean, I kind of in the same way. I mean, I think it's running back number one. Edge rusher for me is a concern. I like Gear coming in.
Mm-hmm.
If Gear had the numbers, if he would just happen to be on South Carolina last year and he had the same numbers he did, you would be like, I'm happy this guy's on our team.
Yeah.
He's going to take the next step type of deal. Jordan Strawn, does he come back from injury? Can he be 80%? If he's 80-85%, I'm happy with that. I'm big on Brian Thomas Jr.
Mm-hmm.
I liked what I saw in the spring game. Just he looks the part, like very physically imposing. But that's going to be the key. I mean,
when
if
everybody
we can get
seems
after
to be
them.
Really big on Dez coming in early. And I think with him, it's similar to what we were saying with the tight end position. I think he's going to have the opportunity to come in key positions to mm-hmm. make a play versus he's not going to be your everyday guy just yet. But I think he, you know, third and long kind of Clowney freshman year, mm-hmm. third and long, he's coming in, ears pinned back. He's coming for you.
Yeah, for sure.
He's just coming.
Yeah. I mean, talking about a guy that's going to have to maybe work his way into it all, but someone I keep forgetting, freaking Nick Harbor, like this, mm-hmm. this huge, huge top recruit. He's on the team like that.
It's been so quiet since he's committed.
It's crazy. Like, I almost forget. It's like, I don't want to say I forget about him, but he's going to be on the team. And from all accounts, he is going to have to kind of work his way into it and be more of a rotational guy this upcoming year. But I think that's kind of to be expected. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't here early. You know, he finished out his high school career and track and everything like that.
I think it's safe to say we're going to trot him out there and run the old schoolyard play of, hey, you go straight. I'll throw it to you.
I mean, because Spencer can make that happen.
Everybody. Like, and he's got the arm to do it.
Like, let's say you're down four late in the game, just on the edge of the red zone, right? Xavier Legette, Nick Harbor, and Juice, three guys who can jump up and get it. Yep. Like, that is dangerous. And then we're talking about tight ends.
Throw Knox out there. Yeah.
That's it. And that's what gets me excited about mm-hmm. this team.
Well, and we've said multiple times, too, that it's not always, you know, the different sports. We said, it's just the unknown here and it's the unknown there. But one that I'm fairly certain we mentioned last year was going into the season that I don't think either one of us had any questions on for this year is DBs. We went into last year and you're like, okay, well, we kind of got a couple guys at the top. If a couple guys get hurt, might be in trouble. Then a couple guys got hurt, and these two dudes, Nick Amunware and DJ Smith, show up, and we're like, we good. Let's go.
Was the biggest pleasant surprise. Yep. I mean, to have two freshmen do what they did, it's fantastic. I mean,
recruited Nick.
It's crazy.
He was so under-recruited.
It's crazy. I remember reading a write-up about him when he committed and that said he could play multiple positions. Like, what does he grow into? Like, linebacker, edge, or safety? I think he is a freaking safety and then some. Yeah. Like, it's brilliant. I mean, Dial and Fortune, I like them at the 1-2. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You do, you know, I mean, you are asking a lot of them too, though.
Yeah.
You are. And there is some good younger guys behind them. But if they can produce, I mean, like Fortune obviously had a fantastic
mm-hmm.
play in the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been around the program for a while. He's been in college for a couple of years now. Like, he's someone that should take that next step. And I am excited about as well.
Yeah. And I think it is kind of similar. We have guys that all came in that class with Nick and DJ that a lot of people have been praising. They're like, they're on that same bar that those two are. They just had guys that didn't get hurt in front of them.
Mm.
So I think with this season, you know, it's the same thing. We are going to have somebody come in behind Dial. And,
yeah,
you know, he's not going to be able to sit out there the entire game, 60, 70 plays a game. So we're going to see those guys. So it just goes back into the, it's a little bit of the unknown, but from the words that you've heard coming out of practice, even other players are like, hey, we're fine. Trust yeah. me, we're fine. So you're like, okay, I believe you, yep. but I can see just on the corners, but it, that kind of dawned on me while we were talking that this time last year, everybody's all like, you know, DBs, we're yeah. so thin at DBs. And yeah, now so there's safety not was a tough. Question of anybody. Yeah. yeah. I guess more safety. I guess you're right. More safety. Now nobody's asking.
Yeah. Well, and then like also with linebacker last year too, that was mm-hmm. a point of concern where that those ones were good. Mm-hmm. But what was that? What was beneath those guys? Now it's not quite the case. You know, mm-hmm. Mo Cabo, hopefully he comes back full. Debo, Stone, mm-hmm. Pump Howard. That's yes. a guy who everyone is huge on. Mm-hmm. I think by the end of the year, probably by the midway point, he's playing a ton. Like yeah. he is a regular guy. And there's a lot of reason to be excited. And I guess to kind of put a bow on it, I would put the state of the football program like well high up mm-hmm. there. Like, you know, if we're going to do rankings, like women's basketball and the football team, like I have the most faith and confidence yeah. in.
When, and again, you know, we do have to remember before those last two games, there was some up and downs. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to make the leap just yet into we're good, good. I think we have all of the pieces in place.
Yeah.
But let's go back to Loggins. Let's say he does come out and he's been going to be like, oh, well, we stink. I don't think that's going to be the case. Like I said earlier, everybody seems to be extremely high on him. Also, there were a lot of people that were extremely hot on Kurt Roper when he came here. We know what happened with
yeah.
that.
yeah.
But if there's one thing I've learned in the short Shane Beamer era, it's to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I don't have to like every decision he makes, but he seemed to have been right more times than not.
Most definitely.
And he seems to, when he makes changes on the coaching staff, it seems to be, you know, you look back on it, you go, okay, that was the right move. And when he goes out and he recruits somebody out of the portal, you rarely ever not see them on the field making plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been one or two that we've brought in and they hadn't, you know, blown up or something. But you go get a wide receiver out of James Madison that nobody really heard of a year ago. Now this time he's the number one wide receiver in the SEC.
Yep.
I mean, it's being able to evaluate like that on your roster and your staff. And if Loggins is his guy, Loggins is my guy.
Yeah. I mean, Loggins doesn't even have to like blow the roof off the place.
No.
Like, you know, I don't know exactly like off the top of my head, how many points we averaged last year. I mean, that's going to be a little skewed.
You take those last two games out, not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
we did the SC State and whichever other game it was the back-to-back 50-point games.
Charlotte.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it was the first time since like 97.
Yeah. I would love to see the stat have broken down like in mm-hmm. Power 5 or, yeah. you know, just the SEC, but you know, all you have to do is take a little bit of a step up and just be more consistent where it's not this one game good, one game bad. We can run it well. We can't run it well. Have more of a complete game plan. Keep the plays simple, or the play mm-hmm. calls rather, which is all the things he's saying. Yeah. And, you know, truly play to the strengths of your team. Don't just say that you're going to do that. Like, look at who you have, get the ball into their hands. And even if I think it elevates. So trust in coach and him at the helm. Feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think we wrap her up here because I think the storm's rolling in again. There's
that
a
works.
Little glitchy in there. But I agree. I think the state of the athletics department as a whole is in really good shape right now.
It's in good shape. You know, there's places we can improve. We can do a whole different episode on NIL and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But there's, well, I think overall, the team wise, there's a lot to be happy about. It's a good time to be a Gamecock.
And Little Birdie told me that some things are moving with Gamecock Eats and doing some NIL stuff. There may be the first deal with the first player here within the very, very, very near future.
Wow.
I will just say that this player is traveling on a USA team, not the women's basketball, though.
Okay.
So it's a little hard getting everything jihad with them and while they're playing in tournaments and stuff. Trying to do some things to get that NIL ball rolling, not just on football, but across the board. But
love it.
All in all, we didn't mention it. We said we'd throw something in. You know, tennis is doing well, women's mm-hmm. and men's. Mm-hmm. Hockey's been doing well.
Yeah.
They're moving up a league,
yeah, they moved
if
up.
I'm not mistaken. Tennis, you'd mentioned the one that played at Wimbledon. Like, all of the programs right now are just, they're ticking up. They're ticking up, and, you know, that's what we asked for.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, we're here. But, Tim, always a blast. I honestly could sit here and talk for, like, 5 hours.
Yeah, likewise. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we could chill all the time and just talk. But I'm already getting the text message. Can we eat supper? So I should wrap it up, and we'll do it again, man. Same time next year. We will have annual State of the State.
Absolutely, man. Well, this was fun. Thanks for joining, and I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, and I'll do my Go Gamecocks. I still remember how to do it.
All right, y'all. So state of things, my mind, I think things are great. Like I touched on there, if we want to talk about NIL and things like that, that's a different conversation. But just from the products on the field, on the court, I think there's a lot to be excited about. I think this was a fun last year. And, you know, the last two episodes, it's been a lot of talking about what can we expect next. And I think there's a lot of reason for optimism. It starts with football. Next month, as we are sort of in that last couple of weeks before the season starts, going to do more football-specific content, players I'm excited about, newcomers, all that jazz. And, of course, I'll do my season preview. Maybe I'll get a little bit more realistic with it this time as opposed to my, like, 14-0 year last year. But nevertheless, I hope y'all enjoyed that conversation as much I did. And as always, feel free to reach out to me, DM, if you want to talk ball, whatever it may be. But that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.